Welcome to the Whole and Healthy Vibe podcast, a show to help you shift away from the diet and dogma towards a whole and healthy life.
We're your hosts, Laura and Kezia, health coaches, cake lovers, and body positive warriors. Let's get the show started. So in this week's episode, you have got another lovely interview that we are going to do. So it's just me this week, and we're going to be interviewing the wonderful Ruth. And we're going to be talking all about relationships and what your relationships have to do with your health and what your health has to do with your relationships and all of that sort of juicy goodness. So before we dive into that, I just want to give you a reminder that our retreat is coming up at the end of September. We've managed to secure some more spaces and kind of places for that. So if you're interested in hanging out with Laura and I for a weekend of fun and luxury and investing in you and in self-care and in your health and eating yummy food and probably drinking some wine, then make sure you head over to wholehealthylife.com/retreats, because it's going to be super, super fun, and we would love to actually hang out in person, because it's something really powerful about hanging out in IRL, as the youngsters call it. I sound like my gran. But anyway, before I digress, welcome Ruth to the Whole and Healthy Live podcast.
Hi Kezia.
Hello. So Ruth, in the true kind of Cilla Black style, can you tell us what's your name and where you come from?
So I'm Ruth. I feel like that's definitely been covered.
good to confirm.
Yes, just to confirm, I am Ruth. I am based in Oxfordshire in the UK. I label myself as a relationship and communication coach. In my business, Ideal Balance Coaching.
Fab. Wonderful. And before we dive into all things relationship and communication, because I love those topics, can you tell us all what you had for breakfast today?
Okay, so this morning I had bacon, scrambled eggs, mushroom, and these things called taco beans.
Oh.
Yeah, which are like, well, they're like mixed beans and like a spicy tomato sauce. You can buy them from Tesco, and they're amazing.
Nice. That sounds like an awesome breakfast. Actually, I've just had lunch, and my lunch was kind of like just an extension of breakfast. And it was pretty much like that. It was scrambled eggs and some veggies. And I'd run out of bacon, so I just had some leftover curry. Which is,
nice.
I know, it was. People laugh at me for having scrambled eggs and curry, but I actually think it's the best combination ever. But, you know, each to their own, which is fun. But so in terms of becoming a relationships and communication coach, tell us how that journey happened, what got you interested in that. Tell us a little bit around that.
Okay, so trying to think where best to start. I trained as a life coach because I'd had some coaching myself, and I just fell in love with the process and the benefits it gives people. But say, you know, being a life coach is such a big overarching topic, you know, it's really, really kind of hard to focus on all of it, so you're kind of recommended to narrow down a bit. And the reason I ended up in relationships is just for looking back over my journey as a person and where I'd come through and some of the things I'm really passionate about. I just, when it comes to relationships, I can just get on my soapbox and talk for hours and hours and hours, which I won't today, I promise. But,
Hey guys, this is actually a 4-hour long episode.
Yeah, and so, I mean, growing up, I wasn't the best at relationships. You know, I didn't have the best social skills, and I wasn't the most confident, and I had a bit of, you know, I was bullied a bit at school and struggled with friendships and things. And I've really worked through a lot of that stuff and the impact that had on then on romantic relationships, and through my own kind of learning, and I studied psychology, and just through life, I kind of overcame a lot of those barriers I faced very early on, and then met my now husband, and I really credit the strength of our relationship to all that work that I put in getting myself in a great place and looking after my own health and well-being before we started our relationship.
I think that is so key, actually. And it's so funny, I almost like hear a lot of echoes of even my own sort of history with that as well. And I think I think you're so right when it comes to relationships and communication and that kind of thing. Sometimes the best thing you can do is really work on it before you're ever in one.
And I
definitely have found that to be the case with myself. I was bullied a lot earlier on as a child for a long time, and that actually did leave me with a lot of social anxiety and some issues around friendships sometimes, of being like walked over quite easily, or not standing up for myself or for what I believed in or whatever, not ever, you know, always wanting to be popular, whatever that means. And it was only as I like started to work through that, actually, that I actually then met who is my now husband. As do you know what I mean, it was that lovely process of like, you know what, I'm happy on my own, I'm going to work through some of this stuff for me, and I'm worth it with or without someone. And but then it was only through that process that then I kind of was like, oh, and then there's this awesome man, and oh, that's nice. Which is a very summarized version.
It's like, a thing is, relationships are, one of the things I always say is, you know, nothing happens in isolation. And I got really, I'm really passionate about the fact, you know, if you go out and read self-development books, or if you look at anything out there on a kind of improving your life, improving your health, your wealth, or whatever it is, they tend to not focus on the fact that you're not doing it on your own.
Yeah.
And even if you're not in a romantic relationship, there's still family and friends and other people. And so it's the fact that as you change and grow as a person, that does affect your relationships and the dynamic. And we're not taught how to cope with that, or how to relate well to each other, or communicate with each other well at all.
Yeah.
And so most, you just have to kind of muddle through. And like you said, I think a lot of people, the way that that pans out is you do kind of get much more trying to be very agreeable and keep yourself small and not say what you think and just want to be popular and liked. And that's not... It is possible to say what you think and put yourself first in a way that allows you to have good, healthy relationships at the same time.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think you're so right on that point around we're not really taught how to communicate. And I feel like, you know, a lot of most people listening to this podcast, because of the countries that we live in, actually have a good level of education. Even if you left uni at 16, not left uni, sorry, left school at 16, you still have a good level of education. And we know a lot about things from science to maths to English to, but actually when it comes to some of the most crucial things in our lives, which is being able to communicate with other human beings so we can build community and cultivate trust and love, we literally have no idea sometimes how to do that. And I really felt like I started my 20s being like, I have no idea A, to communicate how I feel, B, to communicate the things that are important to me, to other people, and to almost like communicate what I need. And it was this whole process of being like, oh, I know so much about like all this stuff, but I don't know how to feel connected to like my mum. Because, you know, we're you know, it's that typical thing. You have two people, you're both talking, and you both completely miss each other.
Yeah.
So, I've had so many relationships where I'm like, I really love you, and I logically know that you really love me, but we're missing each other constantly, and I have no idea why. And it took me quite a while to realize it was because I had no idea how to communicate, and probably neither did the other person. So when it comes to communication, Ruth, what do you feel like are some of the key things you've learnt over the years around that?
So I think, you know, one of the biggest things for me has been about being honest. And I think it is very normal to not say how you feel or what you want or what you need, and that's is a very typical behavior, but it is possible to, once you start being honest and start gently and take small steps, it becomes easier with time. But it's also about how you're honest, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's very different. I talk a lot about the difference between I statements and you statements. So, you know, if you say, I feel like this, that's very different to when you say, you do that, you do this. And I think we have a tendency, and it's a society thing, of just to look to other people and be like, it's what you're doing that's causing this feeling, and it's not about looking internally into yourself and working out what's going on for you, and then and then structuring your communication from that angle.
Yeah. I think that's something I learned a few years ago, and I thought even that alone, if you're listening to this and you're like, how can I improve my communication or relationships? Just check in with how many times you say, you make me feel, or you blah, 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 as opposed to, I feel this, I need this. When I realized that, I realized how much I would say to people, or even just not even say in my head, I would just be like, oh, you make me feel like such an idiot, or you make me feel so angry, as opposed to just being like, I feel angry right now. Yeah. I feel stupid right now. That's okay. Where did that begin with? And I think that can complete, because if you end up in conversations with people, like, we're all human. If someone says to me, Kezia, you make me feel like an idiot, then I'm immediately going to get defensive and be like, and wounded, like, because you've told me about who I am, as opposed to telling me about how they feel. And I think our job is really to communicate how we feel, not to tell people who they are. And I think that's a really big difference, and it's something that I think when you get it and you start to implement it in your relationships, whether it's romantic, friends, family, that can really, really shift things, especially with people that you feel like you have conflict with. Because now there's, like, the few people in my life that I would have more conflict with, it's been learning to be like, okay, I feel what you've just said makes me feel like this, and I really need to feel like that. So what can we do about it? Which I know that sounds like super odd in the moment. So it does take a bit of switching your brain around. But anyway, that was one thing. What are the kind of the key things?
So another key thing is for me is letting go of expectations and assumptions. And I think that's the big thing that you see. I kind of always am saying, you know, there's no such thing as right or wrong. It's just differences of opinion and seeing things differently. And everyone is processing what's happening through their own brain, their own filters, their own upbringing. So there's no kind of definitive truth in any relationship. There's just how each of you perceive what's happening. And so the moment that you kind of I always say the only assumption worth making is that you don't know what they're thinking.
Yes, and then, that's a great one.
And then from there, you can actually have the conversation and be, again, it's like, explain to me what you're thinking and how you're feeling and what's going on for you. Because there's so many times, especially with my husband, where we've had arguments and, you know, then Dave would be like, but you want me to do this. And I'm like, no, I don't. I don't actually want you to do that at all. And he's just assumed that I do. Yeah. And then, so then he's annoyed because he's made this assumption. And I'm annoyed because I don't understand why he's done it. And whereas if you just go, okay, let's just assume we don't know what the other person wants.
Yeah.
And ask, it just you find the communication flows a lot more freely.
Yeah. No, it's so true. So helpful. I just thought of a good example of that in my, I suppose, own relationship. As I thought for a long time, for the first few years of being married, so I've been married nearly 5 years now, and I thought the first 1 and 2 years of marriage, every time we had our anniversary, I had this idea, wouldn't it be great if Joe, so my other half Joe, if he would buy me a bouquet of flowers from the same florist that did my wedding flowers. I just thought that's such a sweet idea. Our florist was beautiful. I had beautiful flowers. I love flowers in general. I'll often buy myself flowers or get you to buy me them. And I had this idea, and then it got to year three and that never happened. And I spoke to my sister, just like had suggested it. And she was like, Kezia, there is no way on earth Joe is ever going to think of that idea just off the top of his head. Like, he's just going to spontaneously think of it. Because I was slowly getting annoyed that he'd not done this big, I basically, like you said, put this expectation of him to read my mind and go and do this thing that I really, really wanted. And it was only when I spoke to my sister, and actually she's been married a lot longer than I has, and she was like, Kezia, it's a great idea. Like, that is a great idea. It would be really sweet. He's never going to think of that. You can't be annoyed at him for this expectation that he doesn't know about. Like, you can't assume he has your brain, basically. And I was like, it was like a big revelation moment, and she was like, you just need to either get me to tell him to do that, or just tell him yourself, one of the two, like if that's really important to you. And it was just so funny. It was one of those things when I was like, oh yeah, I've set up this assumption and this expectation that he thinks the way that I think, and he knows my brain, and I'm getting annoyed at him for doing something he doesn't know that I'm asking him to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so one of Dave and I's regular ones was when we actually first moved in together, so before we were married, and I'm quite introverted, he's quite extroverted, and he was so worried about me being home alone that he'd like leave work and come home, and he was getting really annoyed, and I was like, why are you annoyed? And he was like, I keep turning down offers to go to the pub and see my friends to be with you. And I was like, do you know what? I really want to be alone. Like,
yeah, you're like,
I need my time to myself.
You're like, why are you home so early? Damn.
Yeah, I was like, I need downtime just to be alone and to do my own thing and just to write my diary, read my book, whatever, have a bath, but things that don't require you to be present. And so I wasn't getting what I needed, which was the time alone. He wasn't getting what he needed, which was time to socialize, because he's much more extroverted. And so we were both really annoyed at each other. And it's because he'd assumed that I was like him.
Yeah.
And so would want company. And so, yeah. And the moment he said, well, he's like, well, surely you're lonely. And I was like, no, I'm not. It just went away. It just wasn't a problem anymore.
Yeah. So true. I think we is a part of human nature that we just kind of assume that other people need the things that we need, think the way that we think.
Yeah.
Communicate, like, just live life within the brain, like with the same brain that we have. And it's actually, I think, and that's often where the big clashes in relationships happen, whether it's friend based or romantic based, is when you realize that kind of, oh my gosh, you don't think anything like I think. And
yeah,
I now need to learn how to, I often use the analogy sometimes with me and Joe of like, we can sometimes both be on this separate island and we both have to like figure out how to build a bridge to like meet in the middle, because we're like, how, like if we were in an argument or what, to be honest, me and Joe, both of us are non-confrontational. So we tend to just detach and just go like passive aggressive. That's kind of our vibe. We're just like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Yeah.
And just silent, which I potentially think is worse, because most of my family are more explosive in their, they're more at ease with confrontation. That's what I mean. Which is actually, you know, if you're one of those people listening, that is not always a bad thing. I'm just going to put that out there. It's actually can be really healthy to do confrontation well, and not always be Mrs. Oh, me and my husband never argue. Sometimes that's not always healthy. Anyway.
I always say that to Dave, because I think Dave would probably actually avoid confrontation if he could and just would keep the peace. Whereas I'm like, no, we have to discuss this. I'm a bit more volatile.
Yeah.
So we've kind of tempered it out now. So I don't go completely, I don't lose my temper completely and yell at him, because I know that he will shut down.
Yeah.
And he also brings stuff to me rather than shutting down. So it does. But you have to be able to have the conversation in the first place to know how you tick as a couple, so you can work that stuff out.
Yeah, no, it's so true. I know. I think just taking that time to understand yourself and then understand others, I think, is really, really helpful. And what kind of tools or processes have you found helpful in this whole journey, Ruth, if any at all?
Well, so one of the biggest things for me, and it's kind of partly what I do with my coaching, is learning to put yourself first and really learning about yourself and doing that kind of discovery and making time for knowing what you want and need and how you tick and how you work and what kind of person you are. The more you learn about yourself, the easier it is then to relate to kind of the other people in your life.
Yeah.
And that for me was the biggest change, was really focusing on my needs first and foremost. And then from there, kind of then starting to look at my relationships.
Yeah.
So I think there's a tendency, if there's something wrong in the relationship, you assume it's because of the relationship, whereas often it's something that you need to meet for yourself.
Yeah, so true. And I think that is really powerful. I think I think the greatest things you can do actually for any relationship, whether it's like one with your parents, your sisters, your siblings, even in work, like, you know, workplace relationships, bosses, employees, whatever that the connection is actually to really know yourself and grow in self-awareness. And again, I think it's one of those things that I think would be so helpful if it was like part of our school curriculum almost, that we had these tools just to understand the way that we work. So I know in my whole family's relationships, I've introduced a couple of tools just to help us as a whole family. So I'm the youngest of four, and all my siblings now have other halves, and they're producing children and all of this awesome stuff. And then I have my parents, and so there's, you know, our family now was already a decent size, but is now like 12. You know, our family WhatsApp group is like maybe 12 people, all living different lives, family gatherings, you know, and we're all very, you know, we're all similar because we're family, but we were different in the lives and stages that we're at. And so I remember years ago, as part of my job at the time, was going through something called Strength Finders as my kind of professional development. They did that for me within my job. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is so helpful. At the time, I think me and Joe were dating. So and we were struggling with a couple. Well, I was just basically finding him really annoying. And so I was like, do this Strength Finders thing, because I'm obviously not understanding you very well. And so he did this Strength Finders thing. And basically all it does is it's just a framework. You know, all of these things are just tools. They're not telling you who you are, but they're just giving you the language to communicate and understand one another, really. Yeah. And so he did that, and it totally shifted our relationship, and basically meant I didn't get so annoyed at him because I understood more of his strengths and the pros and cons of his strengths. Anyway, and then I slowly kind of filtered it through my family. So now, kind of 6 or 7 years later, all my family has done Strength Finders. I think I've also gotten them to do Myers-Briggs and found out all their love languages. And
So love languages was the other tool that I'd recommend. That's a great one, because that really changed just how. I mean, I'm very lucky. Dave and I have always been able to talk. And from, I think it's because from the moment I met him, I was just like, if you're not going to be open and honest with me, we're not going to stay in a relationship. Like, I just don't. I had no interest in, like I said, honesty is one of the biggest values for me in any relationship. I'd rather people were just brutally honest than didn't tell me what was going on. Yeah. And so he's got used to the fact that he has to communicate with me. But my family aren't big talkers. And so there's kind of a lot of the conflict that I've had with my parents and my siblings and things. Actually, once I read Five Languages of Love, I was like, oh, that's how that my dad showed me he really cares for me. Oh, that's why my sister does that. Oh, okay. And it just slots. And it makes you realise that things that you think are really annoying are actually their ways of showing that they care.
Yeah.
And so it just changes how you feel about some of the kind of dynamics that come up.
Yeah.
And so that's a great book. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. So if you're listening, if you're in any relationship, if you just want to improve your relationships, you can Google like love languages test, and you can do a quick online test, or you can obviously go to Amazon. If you just literally search in love languages, the book will come up. It's like a bestseller. It's really, really helpful. And it's a really simple way of ensuring that the people around you feel loved and ensuring that you feel loved. Because as you know, I had a similar example with my sister. We would hang out together, and I would sometimes leave our hanging out time being a bit like, oh, I don't feel that, like, I don't know, I don't feel very connected. Like, I knew she loved me and I loved her, you know, blah, blah, blah. I knew all that stuff, but I didn't feel it as a feeling.
Yeah.
And then I started to, through this whole love languages thing, and started to think about, okay, well, what's her love language? And I had never thought about that before. And then when I thought about it quickly, I was like, oh, she's a total acts of service, which is one of the five, which basically means that people feel really loved when you do things for them. So like if I go to my sister's house and she has a pile of washing up and I do it while I'm talking to her, she'll feel really loved. Or if she needs something from the shop and I run out and go and get it for her, or I make her dinner, like really practical things she feels really loved by. But that's not my love language at all. Like, if she comes around to my house and does the dishes, I'm like, why are you doing the dishes and not talking to me? I'm a quality time and words person. So it's been really helpful. It changes your expectations and it helps you to do the things. It's almost like helps you just to be more accurate in loving people. And it means you're not constantly kind of being like, oh, why does that person not get me? Or how can I not reach that person? Or why do I feel even unloved in relationships? Because it's very easy to feel unloved in relationships, even if logically you know that they love you.
And that's it. And you're probably just missing all the ways they show that they love you.
So
my dad's an acts of service. Like, he shows he loves you by doing acts of service. So if you've got any DIY, my dad will come and do it. Like, he has no, and he will always do things. And I'm like, I'm quality time. So I'm like, oh, all he does is come around and he's always busy. He won't talk to me, won't spend any time with me. Mm-hmm. And once I click that it's his way of showing that he cares, I've actually then was like, oh, that's so nice. Like, he's come and fix my shelf for me.
And then every time you look at that shelf, you can be like, oh, it's because he loves me. As opposed to like, oh, my dad never says, like, we never have those deep and meaningful chats, like blah blah blah. I think that's really, really useful. Is there any other useful tools or books or just even ways of thinking that you found really, really helpful, Ruth?
I mean, one of the books that I read that really helped give me a framework for thinking is Nonviolent Communication, which is it's a way of structuring conversation. When you read it, it can feel very stiff because it is about using I statements and kind of expressing what you need, and it's used a lot in kind of conflict resolution. So when you read it, you think, oh, I don't think I'll be able to use this in like my relationship with my partner or with my family because it feels so kind of stiff and formal. But I think that the rules that it's used to build upon are really, really good, just foundations for how you communicate with your partner and other friends and family and stuff.
The books like that often can be really, really helpful. I'm gonna have to write that down because that sounds good. I've read a little bit around communication or books that have had elements of that in, but never a full-blown okay, let's just look at communication as a thing in itself within relationships. So I'm gonna add that to my book reading list for 2017. Which is fun. And in terms of working with clients and working people through this journey, what are kind of like some of the key, I suppose, steps that you get people to go through in order to, because I assume people probably come to you because they've recognized, okay, my relationship could be, you know, enhanced in some way, my communication is off, or they obviously come to you probably with some sort of problem. And what if there is any listeners that are feeling like there's relationships or that are a bit, I don't know, not as awesome as they could be, what kind of would be a couple of things that you would say would be really helpful in terms of helping them see a shift?
Normally clients come to me because it's that kind of disconnect and that feeling that you're kind of growing apart and things. And actually the first thing I always do, which is where I think I'm slightly different to a lot of other relationship coaches out there, is I do focus on you as an individual. Mm-hmm. And we get really clear on where you are in your life. And, mm-hmm. and we look at, I've got a needs model that I follow where we look at things like health, you know, everything like health, sleep, exercise, stress, career. And we just work out where there are any other kind of, I suppose, energy leaks in your life. And then we start by kind of getting those things in place, so you're in a really good place as a person. And then we look at how you then start sharing and communicating, expressing what you're doing and making it very kind of person-centered. And like I said, I think sometimes using I sentences and just talking about what you're doing, I'm always amazed by how many people just don't share what's going on for them in their day-to-day life with others in their, you know, with their friends or families. Or I think you get so used to being the listening ear, the person that's always, you know, you're always asking the questions and listening to the responses and helping your friends and family, that you never then actually share anything back.
Yeah.
So just starting to actually share what's going on for you, even if it's just the positive stuff and not the negative stuff to begin with, just starts building out that channel of communication.
Yeah.
Because I think otherwise, if you go straight in with like, these are all the things that are wrong, I feel really, you know, I feel disconnected, I feel unloved, like you say, it's just going to get the other person's back up.
Yes, it's just going to put someone feeling really defensive and they might be doing their best job to love you.
Yeah.
And you promise it's not good enough.
If you come from a really positive place of like, look, these are all the things that are going on, this is what I'm learning and this is what I'm doing and this is how it makes me feel and these are all the good things that are happening, that when you then go, and you know, I'd really like to look at this thing as well that I feel isn't quite as good, it's a more flowing conversation.
Yeah, so good. Such a good point, I think.
Yeah.
Of just being intentional with the information you're sharing. So if you're sharing a point that you maybe want to work on, like maybe it's busyness and you never see that person because your schedule doesn't match and you don't feel like you're a priority or something. If you just start off with just that, then they're going to feel really deflated and potentially defensive. Whereas if you are starting with, oh, well, this is how I'm doing right now, this is what's going on in my life, and you know what, I've really valued this about our relationship, friendship, or whatever, marriage, whatever it is, I really value this about it, blah, 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 and then being like, I really feel like I want to see you more. Like, I really need that, I really love that, like, can we work? It's a totally different conversation to that sort of like, oh, I never see you anyway, so whatever.
And I just find it so much easier to have that type of conversation if you are looking after yourself as well.
Yeah.
And that's why I always start there.
Yeah.
And the only other thing that I kind of noticed makes such a different shift is actually to start being really complimentary and grateful and for your partner. Because even when things, it can be really hard when things get into a really bad place, you can focus so much on that thing that's not working that you miss all of the other good stuff. And if you start putting positive, you know, feedback and praise and love and things into the relationship, the other person often then reciprocates back.
Yes, I want to give a big high five to that. Yeah. I think actually learning, I don't think we do it enough. Like I posted a couple of posts actually on my Instagram over time just about. Just about being actually really grateful for Joe. And actually, I think we do. It's so easy for us to spend a lot of time, especially if our relationship is in a tricky place, or we do feel disconnected, or we do feel like we're just friends sharing the same bed or whatever it is. Like, I think actually learning to be really grateful for your relationships is really, really important. So I often talk about Joe as like my daily miracle, because I kind of think finding a person to spend your life with is a bit of a miracle, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like I honestly can't, like I have friends that haven't necessarily found that person yet, not for lack of trying, you know, and these are beautiful, intelligent, amazing men and women that I have no idea why they are, do you know, why they haven't found the person of their dreams yet. Literally, there's no logical explanation for it. And it just makes me conclude that, you know, there's something magical about relationships that we don't understand. And so some of it is just choosing to be like, you know what, I don't understand this, but I'm going to be really grateful for Joe, for example, or even things like really grateful for my in-laws, because my in-laws are wonderful. And I like just it is, I think, gratitude. And that can sound really woolly, but maybe making it just like, you know, if you use social media, maybe you can just post a thing about a picture of your sister or your mum or your partner or whoever, and just praise them and like tag them in it and be like, so-and-so is so awesome. They're amazing. And if you don't use social media, then don't worry, it's totally fine. But you can just do that within your journaling, or just when you're driving a car, just thinking about, okay, what are the relationships in my life that I'm really thankful for, and just taking some time to really get grateful about those. Totally, I think, is a real game changer actually in your relationships and in the day-to-day, because it's a typical thing. You see it a lot of the time in people, like you'll see people that are single and then they fall in love, and then they're like, oh my goodness, they're in that lovey-dovey stage, and then a few years later you're then meeting up for them with coffee and then complaining all the time about their other half, and then you're like, but 3 years ago you were like so in love. And I'm so aware that actually one of the key things that can help stop that is, or stop you staying in that place anyway, is that idea of gratitude and doing that on a regular basis, not just like on Valentine's Day or birthday.
Well, Joe, there's two things that, like, for me, similarly, I've got friends that are single that I think are incredible. But the thing that I've come to realise from talking to friends and seeing their journeys is finding the one person to spend the rest of your life with. There are so many factors to consider, because it's not just do you get on and do you like each other and do you have that initial connection? Because like you said, there's in-laws, you know, do you get on with the in-laws, which does affect it. And are you on the same path? Like, I talk a lot about relationships being two people that are on a journey, and you want to try and make sure that you kind of stay on the same road.
Yeah.
And you want to be careful. And at some point, one of you will divert off that road, but as long as you come back to that road, it's fine. You don't want to get to a point where you both turn off the road and then never come back, because you're just getting further and further away from each other. But that means you've got to have the same values, you know, the same beliefs, the same kind of direction for where you want to go with your life. It's a lot. It's not just finding someone and thinking, yes, they're a nice person. There are so many things you've got to juggle to make it last sustainably, kind of over a longer period of time, which is why it is hard.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think anyone says that. I think we're all sold into the Disney, you know, you'll find your Prince Charming and he'll just arrive and then you'll live happily ever after.
Oh, yeah, which is such a load of, like, bullshit. Like,
yeah,
it really is. Like, yeah. Relationships are always something, I think, no matter what kind of relationship, like, you're in, whether it takes energy and intention, and I think it's something you're always working on. And so even, like, relationships with my parents, I feel like I'm always working on that. Not in a, oh my goodness, like, I'm so stressed by this, but I'm always trying to be that little bit more honest with them. I'm always trying to be that little bit more respectful, actually, of them and of their sacrifice that they've put into my life. And, you know, all of these, like, little by little, or things like Joe, like, a couple of years ago, we did, like, an intensive, I think it was our third year of marriage, and we did, like, an intensive counselling 3-day thing. Not because anything disastrous was happening, but just we were like, this, we want this, marriage is something that is that you work at and you pour into, and relationships are, you know, it's all of those. And we do stuff now that's little, you know. I was saying to Joe the other day, I was like, I think we should get some, like, couples counseling and therapy this year. And poor him, I probably should have thought about this. I just said it offhand because I'm an external processor. And I was just thinking it would be a fun idea. Why not? Like, everyone should probably do some couples therapy, shouldn't we? Like, you know, we're, like, it's just life. And then he, like, looked at me like, oh my goodness, is there something awful in a marriage that I should know about? Like, you know, that look that you get sometimes of like, crap, what did I not do? What's happened?
Yeah.
What did I miss? And I was like, oh, no. I just thought it would be a good idea, you know, like, at some point. And so, yeah, that was a communication error on my part. Totally freaked him out, being like, oh no, we're on the rocks. And I'm like, oh no, it's fine. I just thought it would be fun.
Yeah.
But that's also the way I think. I'm like, oh, I think that would be fun. And he's like, no, that would not be fun. Which is funny. But no, I think, and is there anything else before we wrap up, Ruth, that you really feel like you want to share with our audience, or anything else that we've not touched on?
No, I think, you know, like I said, putting yourself first and focusing on what you want and need and knowing yourself really is the starting point for any work you do on your relationships.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, often I find that people come to me because, like you said, they feel that something's not right in their relationships. And when you actually get into it, it's nothing to do with their relationships. It's to do with something completely different that once they address, everything else with the relationship kind of slots into place.
Yeah.
It's not always the case, but it quite often that's the thing that will make... Because I think if you're in a great place in yourself, you can then communicate from that positive place, which then means your communication's better, which then means the relationship improves. So it kind of snowballs.
So good. And I think so true. And I do think that message doesn't get communicated enough sometimes. Of, you know, often we get like, you know, if you're in a bad relationship, like if a relationship feels disconnected, then like, oh, just ditch it. Like whether it's a friendship, whether it's a, you know, whatever it is, workplace, romantic, whatever, just ditch it, get out. And actually sometimes that's necessary and that's totally right to do. But sometimes it's actually just almost like a message for you to be like, hey, you're not doing so well, actually.
Yeah.
This is a message from God, from the universe, for you to look after you. So I think that's a really beautiful thing to share. And if any listeners want to find where you are, where can they find you on the interwebs, Ruth?
So I have a Facebook page, which is under my business name, which is Ideal Balance Coaching. And I'm also on Instagram, which is Ruth_IdealBalanceCoaching. Not the shortest name ever, but I quite enjoy Instagram, so I tend to post there mostly. And then I have my website, which I blog at, which is idealbalancecoaching.co.uk.
Wow.
And they're my three main portals.
Cool. Yes. Oh, well, in the show notes, everyone, if you head over to Whole Healthy Live /podcast, there'll be the show notes, which will link to all of those different places and to Ruth's website. And that's also where you can find out more about us, the podcast, the retreat, and other exciting things that Laura and I have in store for you for over the summer months, which we will share very soon. So thank you so much, Ruth, for joining us. I've really loved
thank
our conversation.
You for having me.
And I hope this has helped you listening just to kind of take your relationships to another level. Whether that's your friendships, maybe that's family relationships, or maybe good old romantic ones, like just have a look at our show notes and the things that we link to, and just think about what one of these things that we've talked about could you start to kind of intentionally implement or think about within your relationships. Because if your relationships are healthy and stable and you know, make you feel loved and feel safe and connected, then actually a lot of the other health stuff can it impacts your physical well-being so much. You know, if you have anxiety around relationships and stress and insecurities around those, it's going to always impact the kind of physical body. And so these things really go hand in hand. So thank you, everyone, for listening, and make sure you tune in next week for another awesome episode. Bye.